This is the State of Things broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. The relationship between Grady and Marie Jeffries began more than 60 years ago. It was a kind of fairy tale. Love at first sight, right there on a street in downtown Raleigh. Only problem was Marie was still legally married to her first husband. Their love story became a local scandal that ostracized them from their parents and could have easily ruined their relationship. Instead, it helped launch Grady's career as a prominent journalist in outlets like WRAL and the News and Observer. But more importantly, it sparked a marriage strong enough to survive for more than six decades. The story of how they stayed together is the subject of a memoir called Keeping It Together. It's a reflection on marriage, a marriage that defied social norms and survived through the changing institution of marriage itself. And Grady and Marie Jeffries are with me now to tell us their secret of a lasting marriage. Welcome back to, for you, Grady, to the State of Things. Welcome to the show, Marie.
Thank you, Frank. Good to be here.
So I should tell you, in the green room, I just sat and talked with you a little bit before the show, and Marie apologized. She said, well, yeah, we had to walk a long way. Grady here had to park all the way to an RTP. You corrected her. I said, well, it wasn't that far. So that is apparently the secret to a happy marriage. Doesn't mean there aren't disagreements.
No, certainly not. We can start an argument maybe here.
Well, I'm sure of it. Tell us a little bit about your career. You've talked about your career now, but now tell me about meeting Marie.
Well, meeting Marie was a life-changing event for me. I had never actually been in love with anyone. I had been with a lot of girls, you know, just here, there, and otherwise, but something happened when we first saw each other. I think it happened to her. I know it happened to me. And
she's shaking her head, Grady. Go ahead.
3 days later, we were pretty much committed to each other, I think. After a search that I thought I'd never see her again, and because I had no idea where she lived, what her name was, anything. But luck was with me. I spotted her again on another street, not far from where I saw her the first time, and uncharacteristically walked up to her and said, told her who I was and told her we had to get together.
Marie, we've placed Grady in a soundproof booth just off our stage, and now let me ask you about the first time you got married. Was it love at first? When you first met, was it love at first sight?
It was. I mean, actually, I looked at him and thought, my God, what a good-looking guy. Mm-hmm. And, of course, I was married, so that would just flit it away. But he wasn't quite honest about one thing. He said I made a statement to him, and I've never remembered the statement that I made. And he said he could tell that I was already in love with him, which is an ego thing. You know, it's a bunch of crap.
But there was something between you.
And I was so happy to see him again on the third day.
So that part was good. But, of course, the challenge, Grady, was the fact that Marie was married, right?
Yes.
I had legally separated and had legal papers for over 6 months. Mm.
It was an obstacle. Unfortunately, she had made a bad choice in her first marriage. A young woman who was very beautiful moved from a small town and became a target of an older guy who had a bad record to start with, and it didn't work out, and she was in a very bad marriage. She was going to get out of that marriage whether I was in the picture or not.
That's true.
I didn't break up a marriage. I just was there, fortunately at the time for me, but. She was determined to get out of that marriage, and I think that she would have been better off not to have been in the marriage. But you know, things happen. But
she was determined to get out, but your first husband was determined to keep you in. And there's an incident you describe in the book when he comes to where you were living.
He was a lot older. He was nearly 20 years older than I was. I didn't know that. I was not quite 18 or whatever, very young, lived in Coates, North Carolina with 900 people. So Raleigh was wide open for me. You know, I thought it was the most beautiful thing. I had never really traveled much. And I believed everything back then, you know. I do not believe things now.
Well, tell us what happened when he came in to back to where you're. This is after you were separated, right?
It was. It was our second date. This was our second date, and I had just come back to her apartment, and we had spent some time together. I had left my jacket there, and I went back to pick up my jacket, and the front door crashed in, and two guys came in, brutally assaulted her. When she tried to protect me, of all things, she stepped between them and me, and tried to protect me, and was injured. So she had to have surgery for that injury years later. It was so severe. Well, when I realized who he attacked me, and was telling his partner to hit me with a 5-cell flashlight. Bad move on his part. I had grown up on a farm. I was pretty well toughened by farm work. But for 3 or 4 years, I was friends with the guy who promoted Golden Glove Boxing in the area. Always loved boxing. And I trained with one of the guys. I never actually participated in any boxing matches. I just trained with the guy. I was a sparring partner for one of the guys, and so I had learned all the techniques, and I used them all.
That would have been the end of that, but then and it could have been easy to get a divorce. But back then, you say it was not that easy, even after something like that.
Mm-mm. No, it was awfully hard to get divorced, but I had already determined that I was going to. And as I say, he was almost 20 years older than I was. And being from a small town, I was raised by my grandmother. She was very careful about what I did and what I didn't do. And I had a job when I graduated from high school and moved to Raleigh and went to work immediately. The people in Raleigh were different than the people in Coates. You know, we were all in Coates. I think it may be the only county that murder is a misdemeanor, but, you know.
but that doesn't mean that the social norms at the time were that much.
It was a scandal.
Yeah, your relationship was a scandal.
Divorce, it's hard to believe now with the divorces frequent as it occurs, but back then, divorce was a word that was whispered. Mm-hmm. If someone said that person is divorced, they lowered their voice, pretty much like they would talk about if a person had cancer. They said, they would always whisper that. It took 2 years, and then you had to go through a court trial and prove your case. We had a neighbor who lived across the creek from us that was very close to us, our family, and she got a divorce, and the News and Observer ran a 3-column picture and a 6-column headline over it, and she was not a celebrity. She was just an ordinary lady. So that's how it was treated back in 1950s in the late 40s.
And your case got some attention too, I think in part because of the assault, so because of the fact of the divorce, right?
It did.
But that meant that your families, whatever the reason, your families were not in favor of you.
No, our families did not know. My family didn't know him, and his mom and dad was very strict with him, too. And when she found out, she thought, but she was the most wonderful, wonderful mother-in-law that has ever lived.
The ex-husband had gone out to my parents' house after the confrontation and after the fight and after the court case in which we prevailed. And he went out to my parents' house and told them a great big story
everything
that was not true.
He kind of gave them
a distorted view of her and my situation and so forth. My parents, as I say in the book, I had one brother. We were a small nuclear family, and my parents believed that my brother and I had to do the right thing. They believed that that we were destined for fame and fortune, and they would not hear of anything else.
And then you brought Marie into the house, and they met.
That was after I had been to Florida for 6 months.
Tell us about that. Why'd you go to Florida? Why did you go to Florida?
To get a divorce in 6 months. I received a huge check that I could. I had extra money, and we had been trying to figure out for me to get to Florida. And when this check came in, it was over $1,000 about. And I said, "I'm going to Florida." Well, my mom totally disapproved of it. My grandmother that raised me said, "Do what you need to do." And Grady's mother and father said, "Don't you ever see that woman again?"
Mm. Wow. but this had to be a long 6 months. And that it was easier to get the divorce in Florida.
Oh,
you could
yeah.
do it in
you
6 months, rather. So that's what you did. But you had to be there 6 months.
Yeah.
So what was the relationship like in that period for you? You've got both families now militantly against it. You're separated now. What happened to the relationship?
We had a rough patch, a very rough patch. We have never agreed on whose fault it was. I'm pretty well sure it was hers.
it's not my fault. It wasn't my fault. It's what he did and how he acted.
What were you doing, Grady?
Well, she was
no,
working.
Not she. What were you doing?
She was working with a company.
Dr. Phil here.
And a couple of guys there, she said, were coming to Raleigh. And they said, "Look, you want to ride up and see your boyfriend? You can ride with us." I didn't like that. I was pretty much insecure, I guess, about the long-distance situation. And we had a terrible fight.
He broke up with me and said he never wanted to see me again. He started writing me, and I never answered. Never.
I think I maybe developed whatever writing skill I have.
Because you were active in media at this point. Where were you in your...
I was not active in media at that time. I had a couple of jobs, really interesting jobs. I worked in the License and Theft Enforcement Division for the state. It was a night job. Worked all night by myself most of the time.
That's when most of the thefts happened.
And during 3 days a week, I had a job in a clothing store, a men's clothing store. I had worked there during high school and after high school when I was fooling around with college. So I had a couple of jobs. And also, I helped my father on our farm, we had some joint efforts on our farm that was right outside the city. I asked her the question that she never answers. I said, "If I had come to see you with two young women, what would have happened?" Of course, I knew the answer.
Marie, if he wanted to drive down there with two young women.
He couldn't drive down to see me. And so I was so excited about this trip, and I thought how happy he was going to be to see me. And he immediately had a fit.
All right. So we have set it up, I think, beautifully. Two families against the marriage, violence in the first marriage, a six-month separation that leads to a nearly irreconcilable fight. You still don't agree on whose fault it was 60 years later, and you've had a successful marriage. So how'd you do it?
I have a great passion for this woman. I'm 81 years old, and she can walk in the room, and I got the we can argue for all day long on anything, and she can reach out and touch my hand, and it's all over. Maybe I'm a hopeless romantic, but I think I can do the same thing to her. She can be so angry with me she wants to kill me,
right.
And I can sneak up behind her, embrace her, and kiss her on top of the head, and it's all over.
Marie, how'd you do it?
Well, actually, I came back from Florida, and from that time that I came up here to see him, thinking how happy he'd be, he started writing letters telling me, you know, please, you know, let's talk. Please write me everything. I never answered him, and I stayed several months longer, not really several months, but a few months. And so when I got back to Coates, North Carolina, I sent him a card. I said, I'm at Mama's, Marie. So this wannabe playboy over here, he said he couldn't figure out how he was going to face me and how he was going to do this and that, but he was going to make me pay for it, you know. But it didn't happen that way. He came down to my grandmother's, and it was dusk, and I was coming up the road I'd been walking in. I don't know, but we just, my grandmother was all smiles. My grandmother approved. My mother would not sign my divorce papers. When I sent them to her, she would not sign them because she said, you need to do this and that and the other, which she didn't know the situation. I would never tell my family about the abuse or anything. But actually, that hurt. But his brother signed his divorce papers, although I wasn't speaking to him.
She had this, in Florida, you had to have some resident of North Carolina a sign that you had been a previous resident of the state and that you had been married and so forth. There was some technical stuff.
I still want to know, that gets us to the wedding. Okay, that romantic story gets us to the wedding, but beyond the 60 years. And you've had, and you talked about in the book, actually some of the most trying times were raising your children, right, and yeah, fights over the kids. Some difficult times, many difficult times in 60 years. So what's the key to success in a country with a divorce rate of, you know, somewhere 50%, maybe more? Why? Well, how did you stay together through all that?
You want to try it?
Well, I always say, and, you know, jokingly, the reason we stayed together is that neither one of us would take the kids.
So we had parents used to say that about us.
God, yeah. My children appreciate that, although they're all in their 50s and older.
We had some good friends of our own age with children the same age as of ours, and many of them just dissolved under that pressure. My first cousin with whom I spent so many good times was married to a woman from Canada, and they were living in Norfolk. And she walks in one day and throws the keys to the house on the table and says, I'm out of here. I can't take these kids anymore. And she moves back to Canada. Mm-hmm. A good friend of mine who was associated with the Research Triangle Institute here, his wife, we had been friends and
really close friends
for quite a while, and she came in. They had five children, roughly the same ages of ours, and she came in and said, "Honey, I love you, always will, but I can't take this with the kids anymore."
And
she gave him all of the deeds to the house and so forth, and took off, never to be heard of again. A man who worked for us, his wife came by.
Picked up the check from me.
We owed him some money that he had done some work for him. She came by to pick up the check.
On Friday.
Caught an airplane to Washington State and checked into a mental hospital there. And so those were some of the stresses that other couples had. We saw that happen, and we tried not to let our kids got involved with pretty much everything that was in the culture at that time. And that was a lot.
You got through it. It's 60 years plus. Congratulations to both of you. It's a wonderful book. I got it real quickly, in 10 seconds.
Okay.
How many fights over writing the book? Because you had to relive these stories. Was that tough for you?
Terrible. I said this before, and I'll say it again. At times, it was like tearing scabs off of unhealed sores.
Well, it's well worth the read. Thank you both very much for doing it for us and for being on this program. Grady Jeffries, retired Raleigh journalist. Marie Jeffries, also a retired consultant, married for more than 60 years. Congratulations, and thanks for being on the show.
And thank you.
Enjoyed it.
Just ahead, the story of one man's attempt to confront the roots of Islamic fundamentalism. Stay with us on The State of Things.